Well, today we're going to continue in the series that we started called Servant Leaders. Servant Leaders. Today we're going to talk about Mission Possible. Mission Possible. Yeah, you guys are already thinking about it right now. Not Mission Impossible, I'm talking about Mission Possible. And what do you mean by Mission Possible? How many know that, you know, in Mission Impossible, it seemed like they were always given impossible missions? You know, and at the secret agents for the government were given impossible missions, and only a select few elite trainees that were just trained to the max and had all of the, you know, secret spy weapons given to them. They were given these impossible missions that it seemed like it just couldn't be done. And always, you know, and that's kind of the way it seems with us, that when we have our mission from God, it almost seems impossible. If you look through natural eyes, sometimes we look at the mission that God's given us and we say, that, you know, that's impossible. I can never do that. I can never be this, or I can never go there, or I can never see this done in my life. And we see all these things, and God's given us a mission as a church to accomplish, but many times that mission becomes so overwhelming that it almost seems like it's impossible. Well, I'm here today to tell you, as your pastor, that it is not impossible, but your mission is possible. That all things are possible. Let me say it again. All things are possible. When you put your hope in the Lord, you put your trust in the Lord, and your faith is in Him, and He's directing your footsteps, and He's directing your words, He's directing your life. When you put your trust in the Lord, all things are possible. And God has given you and I a mission that is possible to do. Let's talk about this mission today. John 17:18. This is Jesus' words. It says, Jesus said, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. See, this is the difference between the mission and ministry. Have you ever asked that question? What's the difference between a mission and ministry? Ministry is when we minister to other believers. That becomes ministry. We do ministry to other Christians. We minister one to another. But our mission is reaching the world, the unchurched. You see, our church, that's what Jesus said, in the same way that you gave me a mission, He's talking to the Father. He says, God, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. See, we fulfill our mission in the world. We fulfill ministry in the church, and we fulfill our mission in the world. Notice the two differences there. That God has given us a mission that is possible to do. Your mission is both customized and common. It's customized in the effect that every one of us have unique abilities that God has given us. Every one of us is formed, creative, in God's masterpiece. And we've talked about this many times before. All of us have unique gifts that we bring to the table that God has given us. Okay, that's a customized mission that God wants to use your abilities to reach your mission. That God wants to use your ability. That's customized. But there's also a common mission that God has given every believer. There's a common mission that He's given every believer. It says, let's read it here in John chapter 20. And Jesus said it like this, as the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. What's He saying? As the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. What are we sent to do? We can pick it up and we find what Paul is talking about here in Acts 20. Paul makes it clear, the most important thing is that I complete my mission. The work the Lord Jesus Christ gave me to tell the people the good news about God's grace. That's my mission in life. Now, we know the most important thing I can know is what? That God loves me and He died for me. The most important thing I can do is to love Him back, to worship Him. The most important mission I can accomplish is the mission that He gave you and I. That's the mission to reach into the world. Notice the difference here, okay? The most important thing I can know is that God loves me. The most important thing that I can do is love Him back, worship Him. But the most important mission I can accomplish is the mission that He laid out for all believers. And that's the mission to go into the world and to spread the good news. That's what we're commanded to do. This is our mission. This is our mission. This is what He's done. And really what it comes down to is this word that we like to call evangelism. This word evangelism. My mission is to pass it on. Other words, evangelism. You know, and if you're like me, when you hear this word evangelism, sometimes it, many times in my life when I fully didn't understand it, it had a kind of a weird tone to it, you know? There was just something about when you talked about evangelism that you imagine having to dress up in a funny tie and go knocking on doors and, you know, or, you know, you thought of yourself, you know, dressed funny and speaking funny and doing things and just thought about the evangelist maybe who came to your church. And, you know, we make all these stereotypes about evangelism or evangelists, and really evangelism is very simple. It's a term that we find in the Greek that simply means this, the good news. The good news. Evangelism is basically spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. There's nothing funny about the way you talk. There's nothing funny about the way you dress and comb your hair over. I mean, there's nothing about that, okay? Evangelism has to do with spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. So in other words, you mean, Pastor, that all of us are called to be an evangelist? Yes. We're all called to be evangelists. We're all called to work in the gift of evangelism because that's our mission. My mission is what? He said, I'm sending you. Who's he talking about? The believers, okay? I'm sending you as Christians. I'm sending you into all the world. This is your mission, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And so this is our mission. This becomes the most important thing we can accomplish is the mission that Jesus gave to us. Acts 1:8 speaks about it like this. It says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What is witnesses? Have you ever been to a courtroom? Ever been to a courtroom? What's a witness's job in the courtroom? Just to tell the facts. Simply tell it how they seen it, right? How they witness it. Now, do you ever see the witnesses getting up and saying, oh, I'd like to cross-examine the lawyer here. Can you know? You never see the witness get up and cross-examine somebody else. Or do you ever see the witness getting up and trying to persecute somebody or defend? No, the job of the witness is to simply tell it how you saw it. Just say, what was your eye account of the events that took place? That's what a witness's job is to do. And so your job as a Christian is not to get up and to have to defend God. God doesn't need you to defend him. Your job as a Christian is not to get up and to persecute people. God doesn't need you to persecute anybody. Your job as a Christian, my job as a Christian, is to simply be his witness. And so how do I be his witness? By simply giving my life account of what God has done. This is what God has done in my life. This is what God wants to do in my life. This is what God has done. This is how he's changed my life. We are supposed to do this. I like what it says here. It says, in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is a very important key to our mission. It's the common part of our mission that we see here that we are called to spread the gospel to these three areas. So let's break it down. What did he mean? First of all, they were in Jerusalem when Jesus was teaching this. When this was being given out, he was in Jerusalem. So first of all, he was saying this, the people closest to me. He's called us to reach the people right there in your network of people, your friends, your family, the people are on your job, the people that you come in contact with every day, the people who are closest to you. He says you're to reach these people, people who are near you. Then he says it like this, I want you to reach Judea and Samaria. And when you realize Judea and Samaria, he's talking about the people who are near you but different from you. Because the Judeans and Samarians, they were different in culture, and they were different in their practices of things they did, and they were very different. And so he was saying, yeah, these people are close to you, but they're different than you are. They're maybe a different race than you are. They're maybe a different social class than you are. Maybe they dress different, or they're in a different, all these different people groups that are around you. Yeah, they're near you, but maybe you wouldn't have contact with them any other time, except for this, that you go to reach them with the good news. He says, I want you to reach those people also. So I want you to reach the people in your bubble of influence. Then I want you to get outside your bubble of influence, and I want you to reach people that are different than you. Okay? We can handle that, can't we? Our command, our mission is to reach those in our bubble, and then those outside of our bubble who are different than us. And then he says it like this, then I want you to go, just in case I left anybody out, I want you to go to the ends of the earth. Just in case I haven't made it clear, I want you to reach the whole world. So my mission and your mission is a common mission, is that we were called to reach the people in our bubble. We were called to reach the people outside our bubble that are close to us, who look different than us, who talk different than us, who maybe we would normally interact with, but we go out of our way to do that. And he says, also, I want you to reach not only them, but I want you to reach the world. That's our mission. That's what he told us. That's the most important thing that we can accomplish in our life, is to fulfill this mission of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Look what it says here in Ephesians chapter 3. This was God's plan for all of history, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. This has always been God's plan. I've heard it say like this, that when, this is just a story, that when Jesus went to heaven, that one of the angels said to him, hey, how do you plan on reaching these people, you know? He says, well, I've gone there, I've started the mission, and I left them in charge. They're going to spread the good news. And the angel says, what if it doesn't happen? What's plan B? And Jesus turns to the angel and says, there is no plan B. This is God's plan. This is God's plan all along. This has always been God's plan all along, that you and I spread the good news. This is why we are still here. This is why we're here on this earth, is to spread the good news, to bring as many people as we can into the family of God. This is God's plan for history, our mission be fulfilled. So how do we do this? How do we fulfill our common mission? Let me give you three ways to fulfill it today. Number one, you must share with those in my world. We just talked about that. Those in my world. Luke chapter 8 and 39 says it like this. Jesus said, go back home and tell people how much God has done for you. So the man went all over town telling how much Jesus had done for him. Jesus had just healed this man, done a miracle in his life. And he says, now go back home and tell everybody what Jesus did in your life. Simple command. I must share what Jesus has done in my life. If God has helped strengthen your marriage, then you need to share that with people around you. My marriage is getting stronger because God has strengthened me. If God has forgiven you and putting you back into a place of right relationship with him, and people want to know why you have joy in your life, you have a responsibility to be his witness. Let me tell you why I have joy. Let me tell you why I can smile now. Let me tell you why I'm different. Let me tell you why my attitude has changed. Let me tell you why my countenance has changed. Let me tell you why things are changing in my life. And believe me, if you're really a Christian, people are going to see it in your life. It's going to show on your face. It's going to show in your attitude. Because when you learn to do things according to who? We talked about it last week. We learn to do our work according to us. We're doing it unto the Lord, and we're worshiping God in everything that we do. Then it's going to show. People, why are you working so hard now? Why are you doing such a better job? Why has God given you favor? How did you get this job? Why did you get this promotion? How did you get this raise? Why is your marriage doing better? Why is your kids talking to you now than they have? I mean, all these things that take place, and you can step up and say with good news, let me share you why. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you what's going on in my life. These are the changes I must share with those in my world. My mission, first of all, I must do this. And there's a myth out there that says that people do not want to talk about spiritual things. Well, Pastor, times are different nowadays. And you got to be careful what you talk about on your job and things. And let me simply just tell you this, that all the national polls now, the Gallup polls, tell us that there are people that want to talk about spiritual issues. Because of the times that we're living in and the end times and things that are happening in our culture and our world today, people are open to talking about spiritual things. Don't let the media tell you otherwise. You can't talk about it. It's politically incorrect. No, people want to talk about spiritual things in your life. Now, I'm not telling you to take your Bible to work and thump people in the head, okay? Don't do something stupid that's going to get you fired. But people want to talk about spiritual things. And when you're sitting there and people want to know about why you're different, don't be afraid to tell them, because they're open to that. They're searching. I read a statistic the other day, a poll that was done just a few years ago. And George Gallup did this poll. He's discovered that 65 million Americans have no church home. He discovered that 65 million Americans have no church home. And he also said this, that over half of them said this, if somebody would invite me, I would go. Isn't that an amazing stat? According to this poll, there's 32.5 million people out there waiting to go, man. There's 35 million. Just wait for someone to ask them to go. I wonder how many of those people, those 32.5 million who are just waiting for someone to ask them, we come in contact with every day. I wonder how many of them are sitting across from you in the break room. I wonder how many of them are down from you from the assembly line. I wonder how many of them work in the offices around the corner. I wonder how many of them are in the line at the grocery store with you this week. I wonder how many of them that you'll run into at the restaurant. I wonder how many waiters or waitresses we'll see this week that are just waiting for someone to ask them. They're out there. Don't be fooled in saying people don't want to hear about spiritual things. They want to know. Destiny Church has been built because people have invited people. That's simply the way it is. We haven't done big advertising campaigns. We haven't gone out knocking door to door. It's simply that people's lives are being changed, and they're inviting other people, and they're coming. And when you open up your life and you share, we're fulfilling the mission that God has given us. The Bible says it like this. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you. We're to always be ready to share the hope. As I read the scripture this week, I was thinking about this story. Many of you maybe remember the story. Some of you maybe never heard the story before. But in 1993, the Buffalo Bills were one of the best teams in the AFC. And Jim Kelly had gotten hurt the last game of the season. And they had lost to the Houston Oilers back when they were still in Houston. Remember that? Some of my kids are like, what's going on? Houston? What? Houston? Houston used to have a team called the Oilers. Yeah. Anyway, they played the Houston Oilers, and he got hurt. And so Frank Wright was the backup quarterback, and he was going to start the next week in Buffalo, playing against the Houston Oilers, a team they had just lost to the week before. But because they both qualified for the playoffs, they were going to be playing the playoff game the following week. And so that morning, as he was waiting for his car to warm up in the cold Buffalo morning, he turned on the defrost and had the heater on, and there was a song playing in his car that morning called In Christ Alone. And that song really ministered to him, so he took out a note from his playbook, and he wrote out the words of that song while the car was warming up. And he said, God, today, if you want me to share this with anybody, I will. And he just tucked that note back in his notebook, and knowing that maybe someday during that day, maybe a teammate or a media, somebody would ask him a question, and he could share those words of that song with somebody. Well, the game went on, and maybe some of you football buffs know the story. They were down 35-0 at halftime. Down 35-0 at halftime. And Frank thought, well, God, you gave me this song because you just wanted to give me strength, because I'm here. We're getting blown out, and I'm the starting quarterback, and I'm backing up. And so he just thought, God, you gave me this song just to kind of be my strength today, because this is going to be a rough day. And about halfway through the third quarter, they're trailing 35-3. And all of a sudden, things begin to click, and plays begin to happen. And they instrumented the biggest comeback in NFL history. They came back and won in overtime, 41-38. The biggest comeback in NFL history. And here he was the week before, just a backup starter, and now he's winning the playoff game, coming from behind to win the biggest playoff comeback ever in the history of the National Football League. And as he goes to the podium to meet the media, God reminds him of those words he said that morning, and he pulls out that note out of his playbook. And the first thing out of his mind, everybody's saying, how's it feel to have become in to start your first game and to win the biggest playoff game in the history of the world? Blah, 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 you know, the biggest comeback. And he says, in Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I have been blessed beyond measure, and by his strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone do I place my trust. I thought, that's being ready. That's being ready. That's not freezing up. Well, the media going to persecute me? What are they going to say to me when people hear me profess my faith? What would you do in that situation? What would I do in that situation? Oh, thank you to all my teammates. I've been waiting for this time all my life. You know, I mean, you're talking about being ready to give account. Frank was ready. Frank was ready to give an account. I wonder how many of us are ready to give an account for the grace in us. When you go to work this week and someone asks you, about your week. How'd your weekend go? When someone asks you, what'd you do Friday night for Halloween? You say, oh, man, we went to my church, and we had the best time with my kids. It was great. Or I came here, and we just served and had fun with the kids here. Are you ready to open up and share your life? 2 Peter 3:9 says, God does not want anyone to be lost, but he wants us all people to change their hearts and lives. God's desire is always to reach people. Let me tell you this, it will never change. Until we get to heaven, this will never change. God's desire, God's heart is to always to reach people. And our mission does not change. No matter how small or how big your church may become, our mission never changes. As long as there's somebody who does not know Jesus, our mission is still to get the gospel out. Which leads us to our second point. I must dare to reach beyond my world. I must dare to reach beyond my world. I have to break out of my comfort zone to reach people around me, outside my bubble. They're near me. Those who are just right there in Judea, man. Those are just a little bit in Samaria. Those are just outside your comfort zone. Those are just outside your reach just a little bit. Yeah, they're there, but you don't necessarily mingle with them on a regular basis. He says, I want you to do that. I want you to do that. I want you to reach those people. 2 Corinthians 9:22 says, whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him so he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. Isn't that an awesome trait to have? That when I'm looking for people, I look for common things to connect with them. Oh, you have kids? I have kids. Oh, you have grandkids? I've got grandkids too. What'd you got? I'm looking for common things. Your kid plays ball? My kid plays ball. Oh, you like to go? I like to eat there also. I mean, find your commonality. Break down barriers, is what he's saying. Break down the barriers. Find common things with people outside your bubble. Get out there. I mean, how many of you have kids who play on sports teams? They're going to be playing basketball. They're just going to be playing football and playing basketball. And they're going to be playing baseball in the spring. And I mean, you're with these parents at practices all week long. And then you go to games together. I mean, how many of them, you got a common thing right there. You can go and talk to them about your kids and how are they doing in school. This is, you know, how you doing this? How you adjust? Breaking down those walls and eventually allowing them the door to open up the opportunity. You know what? My family, we're doing good. You know, because we put God first in our life. This is how God's changed me and my family. Find those common areas. Today, if we were here and let's say this stage was a cruise ship, and man, people, we hit a wave and it rocked, and man, we lost half the people off the side, and you guys are out there today, and you're trying to get back into the boat, and I'm up here, and you're out there. There's no life jackets, there's no boats out there, and you're just out there treading water. And you know, if you don't get back on that boat, you're going to drown. And I've got all these life preservers. I got all these ropes up here that I can be throwing out to you. How would you like it today if you were out there screaming, help me, help me? And I had a life preserver, and I had the ropes up here, and I said, I got them right here. They work. Hey, look, they work. And I let it, and I go, and I turn around. What a tragedy that I wouldn't take time to throw you a rope. I wouldn't take time to let down a lifeboat. I wouldn't throw you out a life preserver. How many people do we pass every day who are just looking for somebody to throw them a rope? And say, you can get out of that mess you're in. There is a way to eternal salvation. There is a way that you can miss hell. There's a way that you and your family can be saved. We have a hope in Jesus. How many people do we face every day that we refuse to throw out our lifeline? And inside, maybe they're just holding their cart, or maybe inside they're just filling out paperwork, but inside they're screaming out, help, I'm drowning. Help, somebody help me. My marriage is horrible. My life is falling apart. I need hope. And they're looking for someone to throw them a rope. They're looking for someone to throw them a life preserver. Who do we miss every day? This is our mission. I must dare to reach beyond my world. Galatians 2:6 says, stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens so to complete Christ's law. What is Christ's law? He was asked about it. What's the most greatest command I can keep? And Jesus answered him very clearly. You love God with all your heart, and you love your neighbor as yourself. When you reach out to your neighbor, when you reach out to those people around you, you're fulfilling the law of Christ. You're fulfilling the mission that you were created for. Which brings me to my last point. I must care about the whole world. In closing today, you must care about the whole world. Sometimes we get focused in just on our little area and realize there's a whole world out there that God wants us to reach. How do I do that, Pastor? Mark 16 says it like this. And Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere into the world and tell the good news to everyone. Notice what he says. He tells the followers this, doesn't he? Who's the followers? We're the Christians. It's us, the Christians. He tells the Christians this. You go everywhere and tell the good news. Tell the whole world about Jesus. That's what's so exciting about the time we live in now. There is nowhere in the world that we cannot get to today. There's nowhere, even the remote places of the world are now reachable because of where we're at with our transportation and the advances we live in society. So you have a chance. You can go around the world. But many of you, I know your schedule does not allow you to go around the world to share the gospel. And God many times will send a missionary to a place and send them to plant them in that area to spread the gospel. But then you have a responsibility to help support them so they can spread the gospel. And so when you give your missions offerings and you give money to missionaries, and we're helping support them, but you also have opportunities to do things. Spread the gospel in your area here and those around you. Spread it around the world. At the first of the year, you're going to be hearing about missions opportunities. At the first of the year, I'm going to be talking about missions trip opportunities we're going to have here as a body to take. We're going to be taking a missions trip this next coming year. You're going to have a chance. Those of you who want to go with us, we're going to offer it to the whole body. We're going to talk more about that time. You can go and actually go to a different country and share the gospel. God has called you to do that. I guarantee it will change your life. It'll change your life. Those of you who have ever been on a missions trip, you know what I'm talking about. It changes your life when you go and you spread the gospel to a different place. This is the mission that we have, to spread the gospel. As I close today, I was thinking about this story I read some time ago. There was a well-known minister who was telling this story, and he talked about how he went to Beijing, China. And as he's over there, he shared the story about how he went to the Harvard of that country, the Harvard University of the country, 50,000 students, and this was a place where all the communist leaders came from. All the communist leaders all graduated from this particular university. And he was invited to go and to speak there, and he met the head, the dean of students, and he met those in command. And they invited him to go to lunch. And as they went to lunch, the assistant president, the guy second in charge of the whole communist university, he found out this guy had been teaching there for 50 years. He'd been teaching there for 50 years. He had trained all these communist leaders. But kind of find out this guy had a brain tumor, and he was dying. And as this pastor was there, he said, as this particular man's name was Joe. He called him Professor Joe. He said, Professor Joe, he goes, my dad's got a brain tumor also. This particular man, his father had a brain tumor, was not given much time to live. He said, Professor Joe, my dad, he's not afraid to die. He's not afraid to die because he knows where he's going to spend eternity. He goes, let me tell you a story, Professor Joe. And he said, there's a man who took his kids to the amusement park. He took his son to the amusement park, and the son brought with him one of the best friends he had. And this man went up to the counter, and he bought the biggest roll of tickets he could buy. He's like, this is going to be all about these kids today. And he bought this biggest roll of tickets he could find, and every time they would go to ride a ride, they'd stick their hand out, and he'd give his son a ticket, and he'd give his friend a ticket. After about 30 minutes, he noticed that there were three sets of hands coming up there. He didn't recognize this one kid, and he said, who are you, son? He said, your son told me if I was his friend that I could get free tickets from my dad. He goes, so now I'm your son's friend. What do you think that father did? Did he say, no, you go on. I'm not giving you any of these tickets. He smiled real with a big smile of joy. He said, all right, you're my son's friend. Here's your ticket also. He said, Professor Joe, he goes, you know why that man received his free ticket? Why that kid received his free ticket from the father? Because he became friends with his son. He goes, my dad, he's got his free ticket to heaven because of his association, because of his friendship with God's son, Jesus. Professor began to cry down, tears down his face. He said, Professor, there's nothing you could ever do. Good works, knowledge, all those things you had. There's nothing you could ever do to give you a free ticket except for you believe in Jesus Christ, God's son. He goes, would you like to have a free ticket? Man crying, yes, I would like to receive my ticket today. He prayed that prayer with them. The next day, they were in services at one of the big churches there. And that professor walked in. Everybody knew who he was from the community. He stood in the front row, and he stood up publicly and said, I want to make a declaration today that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You just never know. You never know. Communist leaders, you never know who the person is that's waiting to hear a simple message of Jesus Christ. You're going through cancer? Yeah, my wife went through cancer. Or my mom went through cancer. This is how my family made it through. This is how we share our testimony every day with people who are longing to hear. This is my mission. This is your mission. And being a servant leader, it means that I have come to serve the Lord. And I serve him through filling my mission in life that he's given me to do. Anything else is just gravy. Anything else, it's really not that important when it comes down to it. The most important thing I know is that God loves me unconditionally. The most important thing I can do is love him back. And the most important mission I can complete is the mission to spread the good news to those around me. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your son, Jesus. We thank you for our free gift of salvation that we couldn't earn, but we only received it through grace and through mercy. But I have to ask for that ticket. I've got to ask for forgiveness. I've got to confess you. I don't earn it. I get it through believing in your son, Jesus Christ, confessing my sins, turning away from the person I am and saying, I want to live for you. Today, if you're here and no one's looking around, but I want to ask you this question. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I need to receive my free ticket today. I need to make things all right, make sure things are right with Jesus. If you're here today and you say, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I would not embarrass you in any way. I want to make sure you have that chance today. Can you just raise your hands? That's me, Pastor. I need to accept Jesus Christ today. Anybody here, raise it high and say, I'm ready to make that decision today. Can you keep it up, please, so I can see it? I want to make sure you have that chance today. The second thing I have for you today is this. If you're here today, say, Pastor, as you're speaking, I realize that God's got a mission for my life. And today, I want to say yes to the mission of Christ. I want to say yes, I accept the mission that God has given me. If that's you today, can you just raise your hands? That's me. I'm going to say yes to accept the mission God's given me. Thank you. Yeah. Hands going up. Anyone else? Say today, I want to say yes to accepting God's mission for my life. I want to spread the good news through my testimony. Hands going up everywhere. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. As you stand today, I want to pray this prayer over you. Father, I thank you for the hands that were raised today that said, I want to say yes to your mission. It's a mission you've given every one of us. Every one of us have been given this mission of spreading the good news. I pray to Father we would take this mission to heart, because if someone hadn't shared it with us, we wouldn't be here today. If someone hadn't told me about Jesus, I wouldn't be here today. And your design has always been for me to hear it, to change my life around, and then to go tell others about you. That you've healed my body, that you've healed my mind, that you've forgiven me, that you've given me grace and mercy, that you've changed my life. You've changed me from the person I was. You've changed me. Father, I pray today to God we would take this mission to heart. We would take this mission, Lord, with a passion, realizing that nothing else really matters if we don't fulfill the mission you've given us of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray that you open our eyes to people who need that rope. Open our eyes, show us people who need a life preserver this week. Show us the people we go out with that need to hear that you love them and that you care for them and that you've changed their life. We pray this prayer today and we say yes to your will, yes to your call. In Jesus' name we pray, amen? Amen. God bless you today. Shake a few hands before you leave. Hug a neck. We're back this Wednesday night, back to regular time, regular channel, men's and women's ministries, youth, children, all going on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. You have a great week. Get involved in a small group tonight.